Merry Christmas. Welcome to Weiss Library United Methodist Church. We're glad you're here this evening, this Christmas Eve, to celebrate with us the greatest gift that God has given Himself to us. And so we're going to begin this evening with our opening hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. You can find it in your pew hymnal on page 234. It's also, the words are also printed inside your bulletin. Let's stand together as we sing. Seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, creator of all life, you made us in your image and sent your Son to be our flesh. Grant us now in this glad time of his birth that we who have been born again through his grace may daily find all things made new in him. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our minds and hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear and rejoice in the gospel of our Savior's birth, told in story and song this night.
Joy to Hear the word of the Lord through Luke, who writes this account of our Lord's birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please remain seated as you hear Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you? Child that you deliver would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy calmed the storm with his hand? Did you know?
Of Jesus' birth. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us stand and sing together our Christmas hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Our scriptures read that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We say very often here that God calls us to be a giver because he is a giver. And so at this time, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God as our ushers come forward.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven, and falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. came. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you.
Almighty God, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you've given, most of all the precious gift of your Son to live with us, to be with us. As you reside in flesh here, we followed your ways, we listened to your words, and we guide our life by your teachings. Claim us, Lord, this night that we might be truly your people. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Please be seated. Show your appreciation to Jim once again for that beautiful, beautiful song. Well, and the whole team, of course. Yeah. Please hear the word of the Lord through John, his apostle, who writes, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world, the very world that he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say together, thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. It's good to be with you tonight, of all nights. We always center on John's passage on this night. We're going to be lighting the candles in a little while. I do want to caution you, please be careful with the candles. You guys don't fall asleep now, I know. Just hang in there. Are you guys still awake? Are you guys good? Pinch your neighbor. Just say, hey, how's it going? Just like wink at him once or twice. Just like give him a little Merry Christmas nod. You guys are quiet tonight. This is the night. All our preparation comes to this, doesn't it? I always remember we would go to my grandparents' house at Christmas, both of them at different times. It was always my mom's dad, Arnie, that after they would come to our house, they were really they had four daughters. My mom was one of four children, and they were all girls. And the grandparents kind of traveled around to all the girls' house on Christmas. And two of them lived out in Ohio, and one lived very close to Grandma and Grandpap. And then we lived about like an hour and a half to 2 hours away. So they would start the day there with my mom's youngest sister, and they would open presents and do all the fun stuff. And then they would come to our house. And then after our house, they would go on to the other sisters. And it was like breakfast there, lunch at our house, dinner at another sister's, and then they spent the night at the final sister's house. I remember Granddad, after we would open all the presents, and he would just sit there, and he would look, and he'd grin, and then with a kind of a twinkle in his eye, he'd say, "Guess what?" We say, "What, Grandpap?" And he'd say, "Christmas is the farthest away now that it's ever going to be." It's like, you know, the anticipation has started anew. You know, the preparation for Christmas has certainly gotten a little wild. I think that's a common, you know, saying. It's almost a cliche for what we see in culture and around us. And I think all of us are ready for tomorrow. I hope our children are ready for Santa. We're ready for the opening of the packages and the joy and the smiles, hopefully, on faces. Grace, your granddaughter's been ready for a month. Is she going to be at your place this? Oh, wonderful. Ask every day if it's Christmas. We've all been there, I think. That's for sure. You know, Christmas means different things to us, and we all have different traditions. And the preparation, you know, comes down. Everything comes down to tonight for some of us, tomorrow for many of us. For some of us, we're going to be celebrating tonight. Some, we're going to be doing it all tomorrow. Some of us, it's both. And all the presents are going to be unwrapped. We're all going to be sitting there. And our mind, maybe right now, your mind is wandering to that moment, even now, thinking about what have you forgotten? How are they going to like what you've gotten them? All those kind of questions that you have. And all that preparation. And then once that moment is over, Christmas is going to be as far away as it ever is. And I want to say, when we talk about preparation, I guess I really don't want to talk long tonight. I always say that, those of you who come to church pretty regularly, I always say I don't want to, and then I end up talking longer than I need to. But I think about preparation. John's gospel is different than the other ones. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they spend some time, at least Matthew and Luke do, quite a bit of their time at the beginning of their kind of disclosure of what they witnessed, what they saw, what they investigated when it came to Jesus. You know, they tell us the stories about the shepherds. We hear from Luke. We hear in Matthew the things about the wise men a little bit later in Jesus' life. We hear about the political things that are going on. We hear about Mary and Joseph's struggle up until that moment, all their preparation and the anticipation and the fears and all the things that go along with it. We hear all that in the other Gospels. John's is very different. He does not begin with any of that. He starts even before any of those, all the way back to the beginning of creation. And he begins to remind us that the one who came into the world that day, the one that we celebrate now, has existed forever. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. When they use that word logos, that Greek word logos that we interpret word, they're talking about this embodiment, this power, this logos has existed long before the world, and the world was not created except through his power. And he tells us of God's preparation, not for his son, not for his presence and his entering into the world, but God's preparation for you. That before the universe existed, the scriptures tell us that you were on God's mind. That you and I, it's a very daunting truth. Because it puts weight into your existence, into mine, that is hard to shake off. For others, we can dismiss the idea that a divine being created all that is. But for those of us who apprehend the movement of a creator, among us. There is a weight to that realization that God has been planning to care about you for a long, long time. God has been planning to love you for a long, long time. You are central in His heart. It's why He came into the world, because we have a tendency, I don't know about you, I have a tendency to get it wrong sometimes. Anybody here get it wrong sometimes? Anybody? Go raise your hand. It's Christmas. Look around. Everybody, look around. I do this a lot, you know. Keep them up, because some people, they don't realize. We get it wrong. Anybody get it wrong? We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong things. We want the wrong things. We insist on the wrong things. You know, we get it wrong. Yet He still loves us. He knew we were going to get it wrong. He still prepared this world for us. John's Christmas begins differently because He wants us to not miss the most important fact of that night. That because we get it wrong about God. We're good at making rules, aren't we? Anybody really good rule maker? You don't have to raise your hand. Yeah, me too. I like it. And I'm really good not only at making rules, but not telling anybody else about my rules until I judge them. Is anybody else good at that? Leveling that expectation on somebody else without even sharing it with them? Not even giving them a chance to reject it or accept it? We get it wrong. We project that on Him. Fortunately, John reminds us He's not like that. He's not like us. Knowing that we would mess up the way we do, yet He still created you and I. He still intends and intended to love you and love me. And that's the wonder of Christmas. God came into the world to show us His heart, to reveal for once and all, to make a mark in our lives and in our history on this planet about who He is and what He wants and what He feels and intends toward us. And John is very clear. Jesus prepared for you. You're the center of His heart. And He shared life with you. He shared the wonders of His grace and love with you and I. Over and over and over, though we don't deserve it, there are good things happening to us and in us and around us. It's easy, honestly, to fixate on the bad stuff. The ways that others disappoint me. The ways that I fail them. I mean, that's easy to get centered on that, isn't it? But God is not like us. That's not where He's at on these things, at least according to what He said about Himself. The Bible says that Jesus, while we were yet sinners, while we were missing the mark with this life of ours, He loved us. He came. He offered everything to you and I. He offered everything to us and for us. We're not to forget that. We think about the gifts, we think about the preparation and the sharing that He gives and that He cares for us. Not only did He prepare for us, not only did He share this life with us, with all its ups and downs, we have a life that He cares for us. The John 3:16 verse that we quote so frequently, you know, that you see on football games in the end zone, somebody shaking that card. Is it just me or no? I don't know if it's still on or not, but for God so loved the world that He gave His life, He gave His Son for us. God's real intention on that Christmas moment was to reveal and share His love for you. Not to teach you a lesson, not to bring His justice to bear on you or me, not to condemn you, convict you, or control you, but to reveal to you the purpose for your life, that you could live in communion with Him, that your life is not about being perfect, about pleasing others, but about living in acknowledgement of His love, sharing that love with other people. That's the perfect gift that we can give. It's the only thing we have. every gift, this is sobering and kind of dismal, I almost don't want to say it. Every gift you give tomorrow will break or decay or die, won't it? Except your love. Except your love. The Bible says, and God told us, love never ends. Everything else will pass away. Our health, our appetites, our possessions, our goals, our plans, our intentions, all will pass away, but our love will never end. I think the best way that you and I can honor God is to accept that truth, to believe and trust in that truth, that God loves you better than you love yourself. God loves you better than anyone else. God loves you better than the culture and the world ever will. And if you can trust that, and if he hasn't shown that to you already, he wants to. And that the best way you can show that you are trusting in that is to share your love with others. That's really the symbol, you know, of our candles tonight. John equates this word, this logos, this power, this intentionality of God, Jesus Christ, that gave life to everything that was created, brought light into darkness. And so, like every Christmas, we share the symbol of light. And so I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward as a symbol of not only receiving that truth, that God loves you just as you are, that we're going to share this candlelight today. So what I would ask as the ushers come forward, come on up, guys. And you have candles. I hope that you all have them. And if you don't have them, we have some extras we can grab for you and just indicate to an usher. And just we want you to be careful, so we want to remain seated. And the way that we do it at this moment is whoever has the lit flame, just keep it like this. Don't do this. I don't want to take any more time, or I tell you the time that one of our acolytes caught on fire at a previous church on Christmas Eve. Sounds intriguing, doesn't it? But you're not going to hear it. So those of you with unlit candles, you just dip. Come on up, guys. I'm almost like basically just killing time until you guys get up here. That's a little peek behind the curtain, everybody. That's what's going on. But I think you guys get the message, don't you? You guys know what we're doing? So what I would ask you to say is, as you receive the light, as you share that light with somebody, just share with them, God loves you. So please receive the light, and the band's going to play through Silent Night once, and then we're going to come in on the verse in a little bit. Is that all right, guys? Mm-hmm. All right. And the words are printed in the bulletin. They're also in the hymnal. And we'll just stay seated for this one.
Silent night, holy night.
angels, let us sing. Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Now this Christmas, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, may the love of God the Father be upon you. Amen. And Merry Christmas.